One day we'll reach the peace for sure.
Yes.
And we all have the opportunity today, if we are not quite sure where we stand, our inner commitment is that I must tell Jesus. So church, this morning you have the opportunity to tell Jesus all of your burdens. You see, every Sunday and Wednesday our pastor comes out and his little heart goes out to all of us. And you take it lightly. You know your relationship with Jesus Christ and you are given the opportunity. But today may be your last chance because we don't know. You know yourselves. And I must remind you that on that day, when you come face to face with Jesus Christ, you cannot say he did not mention him to you. So let us prepare our hearts this morning. Keep the children happy and support them. Look after them as our pastor comes. If you have your telephones, we're asking you to put it in vibration. And let us listen what God has for us this morning. May God bless him as he comes.
Thank you, Sister Thomas.
Amen.
For that lovely rendition. You always bless me when you sing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for every blessing you've bestowed upon us. And we thank you for the privilege we have of coming away from a busy world to a quiet place, a place where we can focus on you, a place where we can wait to hear from you. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll speak to us in a special way this morning. Open our hearts to be receptive to your word. Use even me, Lord. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Leaders must pray. There is so much to pray for today. For there is trouble in the world. There are wars and rumors of wars and threats of war. There are viruses we cannot control, racism that we cannot shake, depression that we cannot overcome, murders we cannot prevent, and immorality we should not condone. There is so much to pray for today, for there is trouble in the home. Too many fathers are missing. Too many mothers are frustrated. Too many children are left to raise themselves in a world where they are easily influenced by impure trends, worldly music, immoral dances. There's actually too much technology with too much accessibility and too little accountability in too many hands, much too early. And good manners, decency, respectability, and dignity are of yesterday's vocabulary. There is so much to pray for today, for there's trouble in the church. In the church today, we see an increase of believers being persecuted, an increase in false teachers and pretenders and leaders who need to be led. The greatest leaders are those who become servants. For whosoever shall exalt himself, the word says, shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Some leaders in the church know not what they ought to be leading because they lack prayer. You see, For you to know what the Lord wants you to do, you have to talk to Him.
Yes.
How in the world can you be a leader in God's house if you don't think prayer is most important?
Amen.
If you're a leader who does not see the value of attending prayer meetings or visiting the sick and needy, be reminded that the Lord will hold you accountable.
Yes.
In Matthew 25, Jesus tells us that when He comes again, He will gather all nations together. And He'll separate the sheep from the goats, with the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And verse 34 says, "Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and He gave me meat. I was thirsty, and He gave me drink. I was a stranger, and He took me in. Naked, and He clothed me. I was sick, and He visited me. I was in prison, and He came unto me." But verse 41 says, "Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungry, or a thirst, or a stranger, or a naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life everlasting." Leaders lead by example, by their actions. The best teaching method anywhere is by example. Some years ago, I was on horseback in the mountains of the Dominican Republic. I'm glad our guide did not just give us directions as to the path to take, but instead he got on his horse and said, "Follow me." And I knew that as long as I kept my eye on him, I would not be lost. Jesus says, "Follow me." And we follow him by meditating upon his word and speaking to him through daily prayer. Maybe you're just too busy taking care of what you think is really important to you that you have no time to pray to God. Be reminded that the same God who gives can also take away. I know you pray before you go to bed at night. Maybe. Maybe for 5 minutes. Or maybe it's 10 minutes. If you pray every night for 10 minutes each night, you have given the Lord 70 minutes or 1 hour and 10 minutes out of 168 hours per week. Do you think that's good enough? How much time do you give to television? Hello? How much time do you spend in idle chatter on the phone? My friends, the world is in a serious state of affairs. So every Christian, and especially every leader in the church, must pray. We need God's protection from evil. And we need God's guidance to be able to guide others. Otherwise, we are attempting to work in our own strength, and our own efforts will produce nothing worthwhile if we are not powered by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. In Matthew 21:13, Jesus said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. And Isaiah 56 verse 7 says this, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people.
Amen.
You recall Jesus became angry when he saw men improperly using his house when he intended it to be a house of prayer. A lot of kneeling will keep you in good standing.
Amen.
Leaders must know how to pray. In our passage which we read earlier in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus models for us how to pray. He did not just ask for things from the outset. Some prayers sound like this. Gimme, 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 gimme. Amen. No, he praised God first. He said, hallowed be thy name. He said, first you thank him.
Yes.
And then you praise him before you go asking for things. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations.
Thank you.
Psalm 67 verse 3 says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Does anybody here know that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people?
Yes,
Psalm 22 verse 3 tells us that. So after we've thanked and praised the Lord, then we should ask him for what we need. Philippians 4 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be specific about what you need. God is far more interested in what your needs are than what your wants are. The story is told of a 60-year-old man who had a wife of the same age. He was a godly man, and the Lord was pleased with him. So the Lord sent an angel to tell him that he would grant him one request. Great, said the man. I would like my wife to be 30 years younger than me. The angel assured him that when he woke in the morning, his request would be granted. The next day, his wife was still 60 years old, but he was 90. Be careful what you ask for. So after you've made your request, close in Jesus' name. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is none other mediator between God and men, the man. There is only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He it is who went to the cross in your place. He it is who died for us, who rose again from the dead on the third day, who appeared unto many and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And John 14:13 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So this morning I want to encourage you, encourage us all to pray more. Pray about everything. For prayer is powerful. In Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Yes, my friend, prayer is powerful. James says in chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Don't just pray when trouble strikes. We have a lot to be thankful for when there is peace. Pray for the sick, but thank God for your good health. Thank God for the freedom we enjoy in this wonderful country, but pray for those in war zones who will have no peaceful sleep tonight. Thank God before each meal. But don't forget to pray for those who have nothing to eat in our world today. Pray for the church and for pastors everywhere. But don't forget those who are being killed for simply declaring themselves to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And pray for missionaries who risk their lives to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for this country as a whole, but especially for those in authority and positions of government, that they will seek God's guidance in every decision they make. A good leader prays continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So make it a habit to pray often, every day, several times a day. Find a quiet place at home to pray. Find a quiet place at work at lunchtime to pray. When I was in full-time employment, I used to go to my car at lunchtime and spend a quiet time in meditation. Jesus modeled this for us. He took time out to have a quiet time in prayer. In Matthew 14:23, it says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up in the mountain apart to pray. My friend, God loves you. He cares about each of us, his children. He watches over all of us and stands ready to receive our prayers. Psalm 34 verse 15 says that the eye of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. Why then should we worry instead of taking all to the Lord in prayer? Verse 17 says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So when your heart is broken with pain, you are not alone. The Lord is near. Just call on him. When loneliness and despair sets in, you're not alone. The Lord is near. Just call on him. When you're sick and tired and frustrated from being sick, tired, and frustrated, you're not alone. The Lord is near. Just call on him. So if you can't sleep at night, instead of counting sheep, talk to the shepherd. How do we know that the Lord hears us? How do we know that he will answer? In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, Solomon had just built the temple and offered up sacrifices and prayers of dedication to God. God answers his prayers concerning the people of Israel. He said in verse 14, if my people called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. In this passage, God speaks to the believer. My people, he says, who are called by my name. Christians, that's us. Then he gives us four criteria for our prayers to be answered. Too often this passage is misquoted or shortened. However, there are four things God requires of us for our prayers to be answered. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. First, we must humble ourselves. Arrogance and pride have no place in Christianity. What do we have to be proud about anyway? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All that we do that we think is so good is like filthy rags in the sight of God. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. And that's really what we deserve. But we are offered salvation free of cost by a loving and gracious God who gave his only son to die in our place, taking upon himself our sin so that they might be forgiven, we might be reconciled to our heavenly Father and inherit everlasting life in heaven. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Jesus himself models humility for us. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Give the Lord a praise this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
So humble yourselves and pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray everywhere. Pray about everything. If you pray often, you will walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Pray for each other. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray believing that God hears and will answer. In 1 Timothy 2:8, Paul says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Pray for the government. Hello. And all those in authority over us. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Don't be afraid to ask. If your request is according to God's will for your life, he will do it. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Don't be afraid to ask. And don't forget to pray for yourself. Solomon prayed for himself. He prayed for wisdom. And God made him the wisest man who ever lived. Anna prayed for herself. She prayed for a son. And God gave her a most wonderful son in Samuel. Jabez prayed for himself. He asked God to bless him and to increase his territory and to keep his hand on him. And God granted his request. If you need help, ask God. If you don't need help, thank God. Pray even for those whom you don't like. Hello. Or those who don't like you. Not that any harm should come to them, but that the love of God would abide in them.
Amen.
Sometimes people can be downright mean to each other. But the Bible says when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all things are passed away and all things are made new. But even though God has forgiven and forgotten your sins, your so-called friends might not. Often they keep digging up the old horse. But let me tell you this, brothers and sisters. No one has the right to keep rubbing in what God has rubbed out.
Amen.
The third criteria for God to hear and answer your prayer is to seek God's face. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You should seek God's guidance in everything you do. You should seek his wisdom in every decision you make. Should I marry him, Lord? Or do you have someone else in mind for me? Should I go to this college or that one? Where would you like me to serve in your church, Lord? How can I be effectively serving you? What would you like me to do, Lord? Here I am. Send me. Use me to your glory. Fourthly, the Lord wants us to turn from our wicked ways. That's repentance. Stop living for the world and start living for Christ. Turn from sin and turn to Jesus, for no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will cling to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot live for the world all week and then come to church on Sundays thinking that if you give God an hour of your time, everything is all right. It's not all right. God cannot use a dirty vessel. Repent of your sins and live a life that is pleasing to God so that he can use you effectively to show his love to others. So if you do these things, the passage says, humble yourselves, pray, seek God's face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, he says, forgive your sin and heal your land. We therefore have the ability to change things if only we will pray. God's deliverance is repeated time and time again in the Bible for those who prayed. Leaders, we must stay committed to the task for which God has set us apart. We know not when he will come to take us into account. We serve a God who not only loves us, but he is omnipotent. He can do all things. Nothing is too hard for him. We serve a God who's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And he sees everything you do. So, the boss is coming. Look busy. Might work at work for a time. But he won't work with Jesus. For he shall come like a thief in the night, when you least expect him. We cannot hide anything from him. He is always with us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us and is always available to receive our prayers. We serve a God who is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows if you're sincere, and he knows if you're just pretending. He knows about your secrets, and he knows the pain you bear. He knows your fears, and he knows every sin you have committed, and he loves you nevertheless. Today he's willing to forgive all your sins, to wash them all away, to give you a fresh start. No one else can save you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you walking with the Lord in humility? Are you communicating with him daily through prayer? Are you seeking his face and direction in everything you do? Have you turned from your wicked ways? If not, do so today. Jesus stands with his arms wide open, saying, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me. Perhaps you already know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to make a commitment to him to pray more and more fervently. I invite you also to come make it known publicly today. But if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do not put it off. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Come to him today. Come saying, Lord, I surrender my all to you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. And save me. Wash me clean. And use me to your glory. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us today. For opening our eyes to the fact that we must pray, and we must pray about everything. Father, I pray that now you'd speak to every heart within the sound of my voice, and may your Holy Spirit have his own way. I pray especially for anyone who has never received your wonderful forgiveness. May they realize that salvation is available. All they need to do is step out and receive it. So give them wisdom and courage to come forward today and say, Lord, come into my heart, forgive me of every sin, and save me. We give you all thanks and praise, Lord, as we wait upon you now. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our hymn of invitation, number 455. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone.